Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yeah!
Yeah! So far, no fights.
The show is young.
It is still plenty of show left.
But I can't wait to talk to this guy. So here's the deal. As many of you know, Mason and I are very pro-sports, pro-positivity. We want to see sports in 2020.
Enthusiasm!
There are many people who do not think it's going to happen. But this play the NBA playoffs and finish the season at one site is gaining momentum. And now we welcome to the show Keith Smith, who is a writer for Yahoo Sports, but also Keith is somebody who worked for the Disney company for 20 years, and Keith worked primarily at Disney World and has written an article on Yahoo explaining why Disney World not only would work, but is almost tailor-made to pull something like this off, and Keith joins us now. Keith, how are you holding up?
I'm doing as good as you can be in this crazy world, but I appreciate you asking. Thank you.
All right, so explain to us why you think Disney World would be the perfect place for the NBA to resume its season.
Sure. When the idea of a single season, or single site rather, came up to save the season, it immediately came to mind for me as everybody was hammering the Las Vegas idea that Walt Disney World has everything to offer that Las Vegas does, plus a couple other advantages Las Vegas doesn't have. You have to have the hotels. Well, here in Florida at Walt Disney World, there are over 20 resorts on property, over 20,000 available hotel rooms that right now are sitting empty. So they've got that covered. They've got the basketball facilities at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex. You've got three indoor facilities that can be configured in many different ways. They're all broadcast ready and ready to go. And then most importantly, you need to be able to create that bubble. That's one of the things we've heard continuously that needs to happen. And because Walt Disney World is private property and they can carve out a chunk of their area and say, hey, once you're in, you're in. No one else is getting in here. They can do that easier than some of these places like Las Vegas, where you've got the hotels on the Strip and UNLV, down further away from the Strip. It's in the middle of a big, wide open city. It's just going to be harder to contain and control access. So I think Walt Disney World makes a lot of sense. And then you've got other things like the relationship between Disney and the NBA, the fact that pro sports have been deemed as essential services here in the state of Florida. So they are pushing and ready to go the minute anybody else is. So I think it all just starts to add up and make a lot of sense for Walt Disney World to be the place to host the NBA.
Now, was this, I'm trying to think, because this has picked up steam now. I saw Shams Charania tweeted about it yesterday. Did it start with just an idea from you and has picked up steam from there?
I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I don't know if anybody else within the league had talked about it. I have heard from some people that once they got the piece from me, that is when it started really circulating more. I've heard from teams as well as agents and a handful of players as well as some folks within the NBA as well who've all said, hey, it was kind of something that was the single site idea was out there, but you made a really convincing case for it to be Disney. So if that's what it is, then I'll take it. But really, I just want basketball back.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking to Keith Smith from Yahoo, who worked at Disney World when he worked for Disney. What'd you do now? What did you do when you worked for Disney World?
For the vast majority of my time with Disney, which is nearly 20 years, spent here in Florida, a little bit out at Disneyland in California as well, about a year and a half out there. I worked in backstage roles, leading administrative teams that handled things like how many people we need to hire, full-time, part-time, seasonal, intern, how many positions we need. For example, how many people do we need to have to sell popcorn on a given day, and how many people to run this ride, and then the schedules for those people.
Well, the reason I ask that is part of the thing I really like about your idea is that those hotels, as you mentioned, are all sitting empty. This would help put a lot of people back to work. There's been so many furloughs all over the place. And as you point out, because it's private, they can just put the bubble on top of it. And one thing, Keith, that I brought up earlier in the show, and one reason why I think this might fly, is unlike football or even baseball, the majority of the NBA season is done 80% of it is done. There would actually be teams going out of the bubble when they were eliminated. You know, like if you all the teams that lose in the first round of the playoffs go home. And so I think that the planets may be lining up to make all this work. If we were going to, you know, you sound like you're in some of these meetings. If we were going to try and say, what are the obstacles? Who's going to tell us we can't do it? Are there any obvious obstacles that we're not talking about?
Well, I think the first one is, and I'm glad you mentioned the idea of how many people this could bring back to work is, I don't know that the average person knows here at Walt Disney World, there's roughly 90,000 cast members that work here. It's the largest single-site employer in the United States. And the vast majority of them, 70 to 80,000, are out of work right now and are working. So you would be able to get some of them back to work and get them to come back and be able to work. So I think that is really important. But you have to work out those details. Of course, safety is paramount above all of this. You have to have enough available testing. You need to be able to figure out a way to make sure people are okay as they come in, that they're going to be okay for the duration of the time that they're there, and figure those things out. And then, of course, eventually Disney is going to reopen. So you're going to have to work around that a little bit. But like you said, you're only talking a real small snippet here of the NBA season versus some of these other seasons haven't even gotten up and running yet.
As you look at this, do you feel as though there is momentum? In other words, are you talking to teams, executives who are feeling increasingly optimistic that we are going to get something?
Yeah, I do. I don't know that it necessarily be here in Florida at Walt Disney World, but I do, you know, get the sense that people feel pretty good that we may get back at this and may get there. Everyone I have talked to, I know there was some reporting today that some teams would like to just say the season's over, cancel it, but everyone I have talked to wants to get back at it. Now, a lot of that is driven by money, especially from the player side, and that's another challenge too, is getting the players to say, hey, I'm good with staying away from my family for, you know, months potentially, if that's the case, but maybe you could work it so they could bring, you know, family with them. But I talked to a player yesterday. We were texting back and forth, and I said, what about that? What about missing your family? And his response to me was, man, I've been with them for a month and a half. I'm ready for a break. I'm ready to go back to work. So I think we're at a point here where a lot of the things that are raised as obstacles, there's obstacles to any plan with anything you're going to do. It's just, can you overcome them? And I think a lot of these things with the Disney idea or any of the other single site ideas there. And I think players, coaches, teams, what's really exciting is everyone seems to be united in this. It's not just one side pushing, we got to get back to work. It seems to be everybody wants this.
So, and we're talking to Keith Smith from Yahoo, who works at Disneyland or Disney World down in Florida, knows the setup down there. Keith, one of the things you mentioned in your piece was that these teams are going to need a training camp. And if you wanted to, you think they have enough courts to maybe let teams practice as well as play games? You think that could be set up?
Yeah, absolutely. That is one of the key parts to this, which is, I think, a little bit different from some of the other ideas. If you've been to Las Vegas Summer League, we all know about Thomas and Mack and Cox Pavilion. But to set up other courts, what happens at Summer League is these teams scatter all over the area, and they're at high schools and elementary schools and private gyms to do their practices in shoot-arounds on game day. But they're mostly set up to be game courts. But here in Florida, you could use the HP Fieldhouse. They host the college basketball tournament every year, so you could use them to be one of your main game courts. They've got another facility called the Visa Center, which is, I liken it akin to an airplane hangar, just a big, giant, wide-open, multi-purpose space where I've been in there for the Junior NBA World Championships as well as the AAU National Championships, where they've had as many as 12 to 15 courts set up in there, and those are full regulation-size courts. And then there's a third facility called the Arena, which was primarily built for the cheer and dance competitions, but you can also set them up to have courts in there. They can fit 3 to 4 courts in there. So I think you could chunk it up into, these are the game courts, these are the practice courts, and get everybody set up and running with a schedule with relative ease.
Well, look, it is the best idea that I have heard so far. We are heavily invested, especially with the Lakers being out here and playing as well as they were and being a title favorite. We don't want to see this season slip away. So thank you very much for, whether it was your idea or how it's floating out there, we appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, thank you. You know, like I said, there's no victory laps. I just want basketball back. You know, it's how I make my livelihood too. And I'm, you know, struggling like a lot of other people are right now, and, you know, furloughed from some of my outlets that I work for. So I'd like it to get back to get me back to work and doing the thing I love.
Thank you, Keith. Stay safe.
Absolutely. Thanks. I hope all you and yours stay safe as well.
Thanks a lot, man.
You know what that was? That was 10 minutes of optimism right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely was. It does make sense in so many ways.
We're going to Disney World!
Exactly. Exactly. It makes complete sense. And by the way, the symbiotic nature between Disney, ABC, ESPN, and Disney World makes a lot of sense.
Don't kid yourself about that. You know, these decisions are being made at the highest level. Bob Iger, who's the outgoing COO of Disney, has a relationship with Adam Silver. Jimmy Pitaro, who's the head of ESPN, has a relationship with Adam Silver.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that these guys trust each other and have done business together before is just another reason why this could work. You know, again, I want to stress this. The thing they need is doctor clearance, medical clearance. But yeah, if they get that, this sounds like a great plan.
It does. It really does. All right. Coming up next, we've got some voicemails. I actually pre-screened some of these voicemails this morning, John. And there are good ones. There are good ones. And we're coming up on 5 o'clock Fast Track. Maybe a special guest at 4:30. I still have not yet quite confirmed, but maybe a special guest at 4:30. So stay tuned for that. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? It is an optimistic, enthusiastic, positive Thursday. We just had that idea floating around there about the idea of the NBA season finishing at Disney World, which makes sense. It is a controlled environment. They can create multiple courts. They've got all the hotels you would need. All you would need is there's your bubble. There's your perfect bubble to conduct the rest of the NBA season.
So now what to pay attention to is the doctors. If the doctors can get them clearance, we got a plan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. We don't, maybe a special guest at the bottom hour, we don't know. 5 o'clock Fast Track is coming up for you. Funch, we queued up some voicemails today. Why don't we start going through some of those? What do you got?
Hey, everybody. Fan of the program, Ireland. I got a beef with you, brother.
Excellent.
I think that you're slamming Sliwa a little bit too hard with this cheater stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just now when you called him Sleeswa, oh my God, come on, Ireland. That's really over the line, don't you think? I think so. It's really like, it's really kind of awful. All right, y'all. Peace.
Yeah, all right, so a little background here. Sleeswa was a name given to Sliwa by Mason.
Yeah, that was my name, yeah.
Sliwa once he said, Mason asked him not to listen to Fast Track because he wanted him to play the birthday game. And Sliwa said, okay, I won't listen to it. Then Mason said, Alan, be honest, did you listen to it? And he said, no, I did not. Then he played the game, and after the game, he admitted, I lied, I did listen to it. And you said, that's sleazy. I'm going to start calling you Sleeswa.
Yep.
And so then he cheated again. He fixed a game in honor of Mason.
Yep.
And so now both of us think he's sleazy, and so that is the origin of Sleeswa.
Yeah.
A name that will stick.
All of the things that we project onto Alan, I can tell you this. He is like the most mild-mannered.
I mean, don't ruin his act. Come on.
He's like the nicest guy in the world, and we've turned him into this thing. this goofball.
No. He's a ladies' man.
He
is
a ladies' man. He does live in a cell in Chinatown.
Yeah.
With no
pets.
He does get lonesome. No, he doesn't have any ladies. That's his problem.
He's quarantined.
He's quarantined. Exactly.
Him.
Exactly. Yes, Sliwa will be with us in just about 2 hours for all of you Sliwa fans. All right, Funch.
Hey guys, it's Andre, the guy who you were afraid to say the name on air because it's spelt really weird. But I wanted to send a message for Mason and talk about that new Rams head logo. I think it's a great logo. I think it's a sign that the Rams are going in super confident this season, like silly confident. You could probably even say cocky, even. Right? Have a good one.
We are the cockiest team in the league. I like that.
I you know, if Rams fans want to embrace the D-head logo, who am I to stop them? I think I will slowly let it fade into the woodwork and see if the Rams stick with it.
Fade into the woodwork? It is not fading.
Me, I will stop bringing attention to it.
I own so much gear, I will be so pissed off if they change it now.
No, it could be a subtle change. All they got to do is take like one line out of the nose.
We're the Rams, man. We're cocky.
Literally.
We are the cocky Rams.
Literally. That's a perfect word for it.
All right, Funch.
Hi, Mason in Ireland. This is Joe. Your argument about Batman in the Sci-Fi Stock Exchange, it says here, in the strictest sense, Batman isn't a superhero because he has no amazing powers, such as powers that are magical or persona scientific. But depending on the canon source, he does regularly perform feats that are well beyond the abilities of normal humans. His ability really strayed beyond the realms of reality. But he is also, Batman is a vigilante. Some words for thought. You guys have a good day. Talk to you later.
All right,
bottom line, Batman is a weird rich guy with a tool belt.
Yeah.
He's not a superhero.
In your world, Iron Man, the leader of the Avengers, is not a superhero.
No, what is Iron Man's superpower?
He created that, Stark Enterprises created that suit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a superpower.
What's the difference between him and Jeff Bezos?
I don't see Jeff Bezos flying around stopping crime.
Oh, no. Jeff Bezos has a whole bunch of things. Jeff Bezos made $1 billion in this segment alone. That's more impressive than fighting crime.
Since 4:15, he has made $1 billion. That's absolutely true. That is a superpower. You're right. You're right. All right, Funch.
First of all, John is not qualified to talk about superheroes. He doesn't watch any superhero movies.
Second of all,
Sliwa is Mason's little puppet. He just agrees with whatever Mason says, and it's sad. Thank you. Love the show. Listen to it every day. You guys are awesome.
That Sliwa will not go against you for any reason. He would never disagree with you. Try it today. Take an absolutely absurd position on something that you don't really have. You know,
I would never do that. That's probably half the show.
And I bet you Sliwa will agree. Yeah, I bet you Sliwa will agree with your position.
Okay, so take a ridiculous position and just see if Sliwa agrees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try this one. Just say to Sliwa.
Okay.
Sliwa, these are troubling times. I really believe we should reelect the president.
No, I'm not going to say that. I don't like to do politics on the show.
No. Anything that is so beyond what you would actually say. Or how about
right.
this?
Okay, Sliwa? Give me something non-political.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
you come out and say, right out of the gate, Sliwa, yep. I've decided that I don't like to be part of the mainstream. I'm going back to being a Clipper fan. I want to zag when everyone else is zigging.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's terrible for me.
It's not really you.
It's just an absurd position
to see if Sliwa would go with you.
Okay.
I think he probably will.
I'll try that. We'll see if he actually goes along with me on that.
If you say to him, Alan, if you don't come with me, I don't want to do this journey on my own, my journey to going back to being a Clipper fan.
My journey.
My truth is I want to be. I want to join forces with Clipper Darrell. And if you don't do it with me, I'm not doing crosstalk anymore.
Oh, I so hate the word journey. It happens on every single one of those competition shows. My journey. Stop it. Stop making what you're doing in your life seem like a journey.
You feel the way about the journey word is the way I feel about when people say, this is my truth.
Well, no, I do understand my truth.
Right. I don't, and you don't understand journey. Like, Phil Jackson's a big journey guy. He always says it's not the destination, it's the journey. That's what matters. What the road you took to get there. You're turned off by journey. I'm turned off by my truth.
Okay,
because in my mind, there's only the truth.
Okay, let me give you an example. There's one guy, we brought it up with Cal Ripken Jr., who did not vote for Derek Jeter to be in the Hall of Fame.
He's an idiot.
My truth is that Derek Jeter should be in the Hall of Fame. His truth is that he shouldn't be.
His truth is wrong, so it's not the truth.
But it is his truth.
To steal a line from Chuck Todd, it's not an alternative fact. It's a falsehood. All right? Something is either true or it isn't. But Barack Obama said when he was president, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. You are not entitled to your own set of facts. It doesn't work that way. And so there's either facts or falsehoods. Take your pick, but it's one or the other. It can't be both.
All right. Lindsay, any luck?
Not yet.
Okay, cool. So we will not promote that. We hope that happens in the next couple of days. Coming up next for you, 877-710-ESPN. We've not talked to you, the people, today. 877-710-ESPN. You can also hashtag Ask Mason and Ireland. Hashtag
Ask Mason and
Ireland.
Yeah, we haven't done any of those in a long time. Let's do some of those.
And you can also email me. There's a good email I want to read, too. VenniceMace@gmail.com. All that's coming up next for you at 5 o'clock. Fast Tracks coming up too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. What is going on? It is Thursday. And coming up for you, top of the hour, we've got 5 o'clock Fast Track. Earlier today, Lewis Riddick appeared. Was this on the Get Up?
Yeah, and this is going to be a fascinating topic to discuss with you.
Yes.
They asked him. You know, the one quarterback, Andy Dalton, got cut today, so I guess he's out there, too. So I guess there's now two of them. There are more quarterbacks out there than there are available jobs. So a lot of guys who were starters last year are going to have to settle for a backup role. So Mike Greenberg asked Lewis Riddick where he thought the best fit for Cam Newton is. Cam Newton is still unsigned. Listen to what Lewis Riddick says.
Finding good fits is what matters for him. And I continue, the more I turn this in my head, although I don't know if financially it would make any sense at all for the Rams to do this kind of thing. Sean, look, I have so much respect for Sean McVay. And when you look at their offense and how they run it through the run game, think about Cam Newton out there in that offense. Think about the way they use Jared Goff and how Jared Goff is the most productive. It's just the more I think about it, the more excited it makes me. Maybe it's a little bit more fantasy football oriented in my own mind, but it makes a lot of sense from a structural standpoint.
All right, Mace, you are a season ticket holder. You're part of the Ramily. You're paying big bucks to go into the new stadium. What do you think about Cam Newton joining the Rams?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it's not really what the Rams do. I mean, Lewis Riddick is smarter about football than I am, but the Rams run a play-action game. They don't run. I mean, everything is predicated on play-action. It's not predicated on the Rams running the football. And not only was Cam Newton. Now, I would not be opposed to signing Cam Newton as a backup if the price was right. He's obviously still out there, so there are no takers for him at this moment. But he played, what, two games last year? The year before, completed through for 3,300 yards. Through 24 touchdowns and 13 picks. Year before that, 22 touchdowns, 16 picks. Year before that, 19 touchdowns, 14 picks. I mean, since his breakout, since his big 2015 season when he was just really incredible, he has been a an average to below average quarterback.
But you wouldn't be starting him. You yourself have said there are times that you've been disappointed in Jared Goff and you're not sure if he's still the guy. Wouldn't this provide Jared Goff with daily competition and bring the best out of Goff?
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, again, I'll say it again. If you're signing him to be a backup, they have to have a backup. And I'm not sure what actually happened with Blake Bortles. Did Blake Bortles sign again with the Rams, or is he still dangling out there?
I don't
know the answer to that.
Yeah, I think that's what their plan is to bring Blake Bortles back. But Jared Goff was inconsistent last year. I think that most, I mean, if
but I mean, Jared Goff is on average throwing for 1,000 more yards a year than Cam Newton is.
Right. I think Jared Goff is your starter, and he's the guy that if he's healthy, he's playing. But most good quarterbacks get hurt at one time or another. Last year, Teddy Bridgewater was in New Orleans as a backup. Drew Brees got hurt. He went 5-0 or 6-0 while he was in there, and then he just went right back to the bench. Now, the one question that's worth talking about is if you bring in Cam Newton, is he such a strong personality that he's going to overwhelm the team dynamic and all the players are going to want Cam to start, and then you put Jared Goff in a bad spot? Would you be worried about that?
I personally don't worry about that. I mean, Jared Goff, I mean, had a come down from the year before, but still had, you know, threw for 4,600 yards last year. I mean, it's not, it guided him to a 9-7 record. I mean, he's 24-32-14 as a starter. I mean, I don't think Jared Goff should feel a threat from anybody. There are games that he had off games last year, but at no point did he collapse, and at no point would you think let's go to the backup. That just didn't happen.
Niner game at home.
Yeah, but you wouldn't go to a based on one game against the best defense in the league. You wouldn't necessarily throw it out.
Ravens game at home.
That was just all. That was not the Rams.
I'm not blaming Jared Goff for all of it. But if you had the Cam Newton card to play, wouldn't you have played it in those two games?
Oh, well, they were so far out of that game so fast, John.
Not the Niner game at home. I think the final score was 20-9.
Right, but I mean the Baltimore game. I mean, I think they were leading 40-0 with you know at the end of the first half. I mean, it was just like there was absolutely no contest, and that was a game where the defense couldn't stop anybody. Defense was helpless against him. I'm trying to figure out if if Blake Bortles re-signed as the backup quarterback or not for the Rams. He was the backup last year.
Like he did because he signed a one-year deal last year and didn't say if he re-signed or not.
So still hasn't. So at this moment, the Rams don't have a backup quarterback. It's that kid, John Wolford, who I don't think they're going to go into the regular season with him as a quarterback. I actually would have thought Andy Dalton, did he get cut?
Today.
See, Andy Dalton might be a good backup quarterback for the Rams. He does what Jared Goff does, just not as well. But if you told me Sean McVay thinks, yeah, you know, despite the fact that our offense is predicated on play action pass and isn't necessarily based on having a mobile quarterback, if you told me Sean McVay thinks it can work, I think Cam Newton would be a reasonably good backup. Obviously nobody views Cam Newton as a starting quarterback in the league anymore. I mean, is that fair to say?
Yeah, but it might be a numbers game.
I mean, everybody has passed on him.
Yeah, it might be a numbers game. Like who was it? Leonard Fournette said we should get him in Jacksonville because he's better than the guy we got. Jacksonville right now has Gardner Minshew. But think about how many teams now are going with a big-name backup. For example, Nick Foles is in Chicago.
Right.
When Mitch Trubisky struggles, Foles is going to sign.
Oh, Foles is the starter. That's completely over.
They say Trubisky's the starter. I think he'll be out by Thanksgiving.
Oh, I think he's going to be out way before then. I think Nick Foles is going to win that job in camp.
Trubisky's
awful.
Now you have Jameis Winston backing up Drew Brees in New Orleans. That's a good safety blanket if Drew Brees gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference, here's the difference. It's Do you want a big name guy? Because I think fans tend to fixate on big name guys. We want a big name guy. Do you want a big name guy, or do you want a guy who really fits the system? Blake Bortles actually fit the Rams system. I think if they would have gone to him last year, they would have been proficient.
Look at the Raiders. The Raiders have a drop-back quarterback who really doesn't run a lot in Derek Carr. Their backup is now Marcus Mariota, a completely different change of pace quarterback. Rams could do that. Rams could say, Jared Goff's our guy. He's our starter. If we need to go to a backup, Cam Newton provides us something different. I don't hate the idea.
No, I don't.
Part of the problem is you got to get Cam Newton to agree to take your money, which is not going to be what he's used to making. You know, Jameis Winston, I think, signed for $1 million.
But, I mean, let's face it, Cam Newton is not going to make what he's accustomed to making. He's just not. I mean, he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL anymore. So if he's willing to take backup money and you want a backup who's got some experience, sure. I think it makes sense. Jameis Winston would have made sense. For $1 million, Jameis Winston makes sense. He threw for 5,000 yards last year, made a shload of mistakes. I think he had 30 touchdowns and 30 picks, but to have a guy with experience back there, I think makes sense. So if the Rams can get, you know, an experienced backup quarterback like Cam Newton for their number, I don't see any issue with it. And I also don't think he's going to challenge Jared Goff.
Neither do I. I think Goff would be entrenched as the starter, and you'd have Newton as the backup.
Yeah, yeah. But if Blake Bortles is not available to them, like Blake Bortles was a guy who I think went to the Rams to see if he could rehabilitate his career. Now, he never got a chance, never actually got a chance to play at all significantly. I don't think he may have started. No, they played through the finish line this year. He didn't even start the last game of the year, so he didn't get a start during the course of this last year. So I don't know that he increased his value at all. But, I mean, if you're looking for a guy who used to be a starter to be your backup quarterback, you could certainly do worse than Cam Newton. I just wonder if Cam Newton, because of whatever reason, eroding skills, prone to injury, all that stuff, if he has just viewed by the league now as exclusively a backup, and nobody would think of starting Cam Newton. I just don't think he's a starter in the league anymore.
Well, most quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks, get a chance to play. I know it didn't happen last year with Bortles, but he may be able to pull a Teddy Bridgewater if he signs with the team and just, you know, backs him up. But there are certain teams he could go to where he would challenge to be the starter right away.
Well, remember, Bridgewater only got start because Drew Brees got hurt.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. Most of these starters get hurt. I mean, look, the Eagles just drafted Jalen Hurts. A lot of teams are going with two quarterbacks.
I don't know what's going on there.
The Saints now technically have three. They have Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, and Drew Brees.
Yeah, I don't know what is going on with that situation there.
The one thing with both Cam Newton and especially with Jameis Winston is, remember when Mark Sanchez used to come on our show and tell us about the speech that Pete Carroll gave him? And Pete Carroll would call Mark Sanchez into his office and he would say, all right, look, and he'd be holding a football. And he would hand it to Sanchez, and he would say, when you hold this, you hold the entire hopes and dreams of this team, of this
right.
school, of this city. It's in your hands. You have to protect it as if your life depends on it. If you give up this ball, you ruin my life, your teammates' life, the lives of everybody at USC, and the lives of every fan in Los Angeles. Do you understand me? And Sanchez says it was so beat into him not to turn the ball over that he literally, that's the thing he focused on more than anything else. Jameis Winston and Cam Newton just
right.
don't look at the game that way. They take chances.
By the way,
Cam's not as bad as Jameis, but Jameis, I mean, that's why those guys are on the outside looking in.
You want to hear something crazy? Last year, Derek Carr rushed the ball 27 times, and Marcus Mariota rushed the ball 24 times.
Right, but Mariota, remember, got benched for Ryan Tannehill like the last five or six games of the year, right?
Yeah, but he ran 24 times for 129 carries or 129 yards. He's not the guy who originally came into the league running the ball 80 times in a season. He's become a much more traditional quarterback, as they often tend to be. Marcus Mariota, I think, is a great backup. I mean, if you're looking for a guy with starting experience, I think the Raiders did right. I mean, they've got a backup quarterback who's got starting experience. That's what the Rams were looking for last year. They got Blake Bortles, who had been a starter, who could back up Jared Goff. Cam Newton is now, I guess, kind of that guy. He's kind of that backup quarterback with starter's experience that you would love to have on your bench. I don't know if he is a big personality, and I think that's maybe one of the reasons why he hasn't signed a backup quarterback job yet. Right, the big
because you worry that he overwhelms the room, and the most popular guy in any team is the backup quarterback.
Sure, absolutely.
So that's part of the equation of if you sign Cam, you gotta take that into account.
Yeah. All right. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. You can also hashtag Ask Mason in Ireland. A couple of good ones have come in. We'll get to those coming up. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. I cannot believe what I just heard. Bill Plachke, who we have been trying to get for weeks and who has clearly now been dodging us, is going on with Alan Sliwa tonight.
Mace, I think you need to just pop on the Comrex and just be like, hey, Bill, how's it going?
You could do that.
I could, hey, absolutely.
Paint him into a corner. Ask him why he's not answering my texts.
Yeah, well, see, why he canceled sports.
Yeah, I think that the reason is he knows that we are on the other side of this issue and doesn't. But normally he doesn't walk away from being combative.
Yeah, that's crazy for him.
You did call him some names earlier this week. Maybe he's taking it personally.
Negative Bill. That's what I call him, Negative Bill.
Maybe he doesn't appreciate being painted in that way.
What about Disaster Plachke?
Negative Bill, Disaster Plachke. I don't think those are nice things. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, I want to do a shout-out for somebody.
Yeah.
Chris Erskine has written a column in the L.A. Times for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And he announced this week that he's taking the buyout. You know, a lot of writers are, you know, the newspaper business is a tough business. They're cutting way back. And Chris decided, you know, they've been offering buyouts to some of the people that have been there for a really long time. I always enjoyed reading his columns. He's still going to write. We'll find out where he ends up. But he's leaving the Times. And I believe he's leaving the Times this week after
his
30-year run. Yeah.
Wow.
So good for him and good luck wherever you're going, Chris. We'll keep an eye out for him.
Hey, I wanted to mention so, you know, I'm a huge John is too Better Call Saul fan. The season wrapped up a week ago Monday, and was an absolutely fantastic season. I got a chance to talk to Ray Seahorn yesterday, who plays Kim Wexler. She is fantastic. And if you want to know what was going on inside Ray's head as she was playing Kim during her scene with Lalo Salamanca and in her scene at the very end of the episode where she was under the covers with Jimmy McGill sort of plotting away on how to get to Howard. She takes us through that as an actress. She is absolutely fantastic. And you can hear the interview at stevemason.com.
I think she's going to get nominated for a Best Actress Emmy for this
season.
Me too.
She was so good this year. They all were so good this year.
I've never been able to talk you into The Good Fight, have I?
You have not.
Well, and you used to like The Good Wife, right?
I love The Good Wife until Juliana Margulies and
Chris Noth broke up.
No, until Juliana Margulies and
Josh Charles.
Who's the one she got in the fight with? The actress. Yeah, Kalinda. Since Juliana Margulies and Kalinda got in a fight, I couldn't watch it anymore because I just couldn't look at Juliana Margulies the same way. Is Juliana Margulies on The Good Fight?
No.
Is Kalinda?
No.
See, I like Kalinda. She was one of my favorite characters. So who's who's left on The Good Fight?
Diane, Christine Baranski.
Okay.
Delroy Lindo.
Oh, he's great.
Cash Jumbo is back on this version. It is, they are taking chances that you would, I mean, it's just brilliant. The first, there's only been two episodes in this new season. The first episode, Christine Baranski, who is a extreme on the show, her character, Diane Lockhart, plays an extreme Hillary supporter.
Okay.
And she wakes up.
Do those people still exist?
Well, here was episode one this year. She wakes up, and the world is opposite. Hillary won, and Donald Trump was defeated on election
day.
And you realize that she wakes up, and she's so happy. The first 5 minutes of the show, she cannot believe it. And they come into her office, and they say, Diane. And Diane goes, wait a minute. Hillary's president, right? And they go, yeah, of course. What's wrong with you? And she goes, oh, my God, I just feel like a new sense of release on life. And they say, okay, Diane, our biggest client is here, and we're giving you the case. Buckle in. We're worried about you. You're saying all this strange stuff. Get ready. And she goes, who's our top client? And her assistant goes, Harvey Weinstein. He just won the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Get ready. This is an important client.
Wow.
And it's how Diane goes from elated to, wait, no. What? And you see, it's like, be careful what you wish for.
So what is it, like an alternative universe?
Just for one episode. So in the second episode, Michael Boatman, who plays Julius on that show,
right,
has left the firm to become a federal judge. And he starts making rulings from the bench. Michael J. Fox, Mr. Canning, is in court.
Remember, I love Michael J. Fox on that show.
Right. So his client doesn't show up and shows no respect at all for the judge. So the judge holds him in contempt. And nothing the judge does can get this guy's attention. This guy just doesn't pay any attention to the judge's rulings and doesn't respect him. And you find out that, and this is going to be the driving force of this season, that there is something called Memo 618.
Hmm.
And the memo is that there are certain people in this country who are so powerful that laws do not apply to them. And it's all covered in Memo 618, which you're not allowed to talk about if you're a judge. You just know it exists. And so that's the road they're going down now.
Do I have to have watched the other seasons to even understand it?
No, not at all. But here's what you're not going to like.
Oh, no.
You got to pay for CBS All Access. $5 a month.
What else do I get on CBS All Access? Just this show?
No, any CBS show ever.
What do I need from CBS?
Yeah, any CBS show ever.
Like, name one that I care about.
Well, it's mostly be older stuff. It'd be stuff like All in the Family.
Was it like the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Yeah,
and stuff
that's
like
on
that?
There. MASH is on there. Any episode ever of Survivor. Anything that's ever aired on CBS Sports. If you wanted to go back and watch any old, John Summerall or Pat Summerall, John Madden stuff, or if you want to go back and watch anything that happened in the Olympics on
CBS.
How
much are they stealing out of my pocket for this channel that there's only one show that I want to watch?
$6 a month, $5.99.
Oh, this and Star Trek Nerds, right?
Yeah, you get that.
I don't get the Star Trek thing at all. I like Star Wars, and I don't like Star Trek.
I'm doing it less than, it's basically 25 cents a day, less than 25 cents a day, so I can watch The Good Fight. And when The Good Fight's over, I just put the subscription off and pick it back up next year.
Just turn it on and off. That's exactly what they're hoping you do, by the way.
Yeah, I do.
Just turn it on and turn it off. By the way, you know, we have not had any out-of-the-box guests in the last week or so.
That's not true.
Lens.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, out-of-the-box guests.
What do you mean by that?
You know, like we had Paul Rubens on, we had John Hamm on, we had Larry King on.
Yeah, that was like last week.
We
had John Hamm on last week.
Was it John Hamm last week?
We just had Joe Buck. Well, I guess he's not really out of the box.
He's fantastic.
We had Will Ferrell on Thursday. That was a week ago.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We did have Will Ferrell. Okay, never mind.
How soon they forget, Lindsay.
Yeah, how soon they forget.
Hey, I'm trying. Not for lack of trying.
If you got any ideas for guests, tweet us, at Venice Mace, at LA Ireland.
I really want to talk to Peter Goober.
Yeah, Peter Goober would be fantastic.
He used to run Sony. He's now part owner of the Warriors, the Dodgers, and LAFC.
I think he produced the movie Flashdance.
He did. He's one of the producers on The Last Dance.
On The Last Dance, yeah. He produced Caddyshack 2.
That movie was just god-awful. If we get him on, I'll ask him about that.
He did not produce Caddyshack 1. He only produced Caddyshack 2.
He picked the wrong Caddyshack.
Yeah. So go after him.
You know, and he's like a positivity guy, Mace. He'd fit in with the theme of the show lately.
We need some motivational people. Who are motivational people?
We had Herm Edwards on like 2 days ago.
Yeah, Herm, that was another one. Like Herm was great. I'm trying to get Tony Robbins. Trying to get Jillian Michaels.
How about Oprah? She's got a good attitude.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Yeah. Why didn't she just get Barack Obama and Tiger Woods? How about Oprah?
I did actually ask for Barack Obama and Tiger Woods.
Did you really?
I got no's from three different people with Barack. I tried really hard.
You know, what's funny about him is Joe Buck actually was talking about Tiger Woods. Joe Buck can't get Tiger Woods on his podcast. We've got absolutely no luck.
We actually had him on the show.
He did say that if he had Tiger on, then he would only do it if he would be open.
Tiger Woods agreed to come on our show once, and the deal we agreed to was he was promoting the Tiger Shark shootout thing at Sherman Oaks, and the rule was we got one question, and Mason came up with a brilliant question. Do you remember what you asked him?
It was, tell us a good joke.
No, tell us your best golf joke. And he laughed, and he said, I can't tell it on the radio. And Mason said, can you think of one you can tell? And he said, yeah, here's one. I don't even remember what it was. I remember the punchline I remember, but I don't remember what the joke was.
The joke was, what happened when the two cannonballs got married? And the punchline was, they had BBs.
Yeah, which I thought was a good G-rated joke. But
yes,
it's not a good joke.
How about the Dalai Lama? Can you get the Dalai Lama on?
Oh, yeah, sure.
How about Bill Gates?
Oh yeah,
he'd be
good.
Yeah. I'm just putting together a list for you.
Any people that are dead you want to request? Because that's kind of the theme you're going with here. Is like
how about Hendrix? How about Hendrix?
Oh, he'd be great.
He'd be fantastic.
People think Jim Morrison is alive. Find him.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you is 5 o'clock Fast Track. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.